You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we are going to be looking at 90 Day Soulmate, 15 years later and growing stronger. The book 90 Day Soulmate was written in 2011. We met in 2010, so the process that's in the book was written in 2010. Mm-hmm. The book was written in 2011 after we met, and here we are 15 years later, teaching from the book, learning new stuff, sharing it with you, our friends out there, and thank you for watching as well as sending questions and corresponding and communicating with us as time goes on. What we want to start off with, though, something very interesting, is something we call a dinner story. We had dinner tonight, dot, dot, dot. Well, actually, we had dinner last night with a couple that we met as a couple back in 2021. We had gone to a function after work. I brought Lisette with me, and we went to a local tavern, eating a little bit of pizza, having a drink or two. And we met this couple, and they had met maybe a few months prior, I think 6 months prior.
Yeah, they dating a little bit, yeah.
They dated, they, you know, on and off dating, but they were very nice people, and after having a conversation with them at this tavern, we're like, hey, you know, let's continue to have the conversation. So we invited them over to our house to keep noshing, whatever you call that, eating a little bit of food, having some wine, having conversation. We told them, one, about the book, 90 Day Soulmate. But first, we told them that we had just taken a trip to the wineries in Canada, the ones that are up by like Niagara on the lake, that area. The wineries, or what is that, Southern Canada by, you know, Niagara, Lake Niagara,
mm-hmm.
Lake Niagara, Niagara Falls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them all the places we went, all the things we visited, and they were about to do that same trip. Then we got into how we met, and they had a really interesting story that was how they were introduced to each other and that they started meeting on certain days and dates, and they started talking a little bit about numbers. And then we said, hey, let's share with you the story of 90 Day Soulmate, the book.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the book. We went through how we met. We went through the numbers, the letter A, the number 16, the number 161. And if you're familiar with the book, these were unbelievable coincidences that Lisette had these 40 items that she wanted in a relationship, and I met all those, and then she had these, what we call clues, just things that she had written down on paper in journaling as what would give us, what would let her know that the person she was with is the match, you know, if somebody met all these 40 criteria, what are these other things? And that's where the letter A, number 16, 161, all these things come in. And these were just things that were, to me, outrageous. Like, how can these have anything to do with how we met? And then they were all tied. And the book describes the process. It describes what those things meant mm-hmm. and what they were. So we shared that with them. And they were fascinated because they were kind of, you know, very interested in understanding. And this was a couple that also, like us, met a little bit later in life. They both also had children. So being compatible with each other was really important.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of 90 Day Soulmate, is to figure out who you are and what you want in a relationship, and figuring out the things that are what? Non-negotiable, right?
Yeah, that is one of the topics last night that we spoke. Yeah.
So important for anyone is, if you aren't in a relationship, you got to really figure out what you want and what you have to have and what you can put up with. and what you'll accept. But there are things that you're going to say, I can't accept this.
The limit.
The limit.
The limit.
And when you see a red flag in that area, you can't say, oh, I'm going to make an exception. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go through the 90-day soulmate process. It's going to be a quick overview. We're going to zoom through it, kind of remind us all of why we got into doing this show, which we find extremely enjoyable. But that was our dinner last night. We asked them a question. We said, okay, so here you are. This was 2021 where we met them, and now we're in 2025, so 4 years for them, 15 years for us. And as we're talking, I'm looking at Lizette, and I'm like, you know what? I love Lizette more today than when we first met. Like, when we first met, there was the newness, the chemistry, the who is she, how do we fit, how do we build our lives together. But because of the match, because of how compatible we are, it's built and gotten stronger. Yeah. So I asked the question in the back of my head, I'm thinking this, and I go, how do you guys think? Do you guys think that you're stronger today, you're at the same level, that the initial attraction's gone down? And they said the same thing. They said, no, today they're even stronger as a couple. They're making decisions together. They're being open with each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They use the word vulnerable, which they allow each other to say what's on their mind. But in, and I remember the one of the two saying, but they're also very careful how they share what's on their mind. So yeah, it's not just if you're angry, just be angry at the person. Is really carefully care for the relationship.
Yeah, yeah. The communication has to be gentle and transparent.
Open, transparent communication with empathy.
There you go.
So let's start off with the first chapter of 90 Day Soulmate. Kind of remind us of how we got to where we are, and hopefully remind our audience of the book, and that there is a lot of science in the book, a lot of psychology in the book, and a lot more now that we know more about psychology 15 years later. We basically have been backing up the book with the psychological science
and engineering,
because we're not real. I mean, yes, we've studied psychology, but at the same time, we're both engineers, so we try to do things logically, things that make sense, not only feel good, but we want to feel good with evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Proof.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. Maybe that's a new book. Feel good with evidence. Let's start off. Chapter one. We ask the question, why do you want to find a soulmate? The main theme of the chapter is understanding your motivations and building happiness from within. The expanded summary is, this chapter asks the big question, why are you looking for a soulmate? Often we expect someone else to fix our unhappiness. Me, Jim, for example, I revamped my online dating profile to be brutally honest about my personality and preferences. After a string of failed matches that I was the culprit in most of those bad matches. And Lizette created a detailed list of traits she sought, which helped her focus on her true desires. So chapter one is, what's the motivation? And what are you willing to do and change in order to try to find that perfect person for you, not the perfect person? There is no real perfect person.
It's some perfect person for you.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, this is the point when you, I see many posters of people start to see outside. So, the woman is like that, or the man is like that, or my partner is like that. So you have to see yourself, because
individuals.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that, because this, as we did the review of this before this presentation we're doing right now, is that we talk about that in the book. We talk about understanding yourself before you try to go and understand somebody else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't understand yourself, you're not comfortable with yourself, there's no way that you can be comfortable with someone else, because you don't even know who you are. So we're going to get into that. So it's like hard, like I'm so excited about what's in this presentation. Let's go to some psychological backing or evidence. Psychology supports this approach. Self-determination theory emphasizes that autonomy and self-awareness boosts relationship satisfaction. Avoid the Hollywood fantasy of perfect love and instead work on becoming your authentic self. So becoming yourself and knowing who you are and being congruent with your self-image being who you think you are and actually acting that way. And so you become more confident. Your self-esteem is in proportion to how you actually fit who you think you are. Mm-hmm. When you have a self-image over here, like this is who I want to be, but you feel like you're over here and you're not actually who you want to be, your self-esteem is low. And so you want that self-esteem. You don't want to be conceited, but you want to be confident in yourself.
And this is not easy to do.
It's not.
It takes time and effort and discipline, and it's hard to achieve.
So I hope you do it before you're 45 years old.
Yeah.
So what else we got going on there? So here we go. Bulleted summary of the chapter. Avoid the perfect person trap. Seek your perfect match instead. Don't look for somebody that you saw in a Hollywood movie where they're the most gorgeous person. They have this great personality, because you may see that person as being attractive, but they actually may not fit you and your personality. On screen, they may be bigger than life, and like, oh, that's exciting, and I like that. But in reality, sometimes that bigger than life person can become annoying.
Yeah, and right? Scary.
And scary. Happiness must come from within before you're able to share it with somebody else. Example, I had a detailed profile, and Lizette's list of what she wanted in a relationship really helped refine our searches. As we more detailed who we are and what we were looking for, we were able to find a closer match. So we became understanding of who we were by creating these lists and these ideas. Like for me, it was the profile and being honest with who I was and not try to hide things that I was unhappy with about myself, but be kind of brutally honest. And Lizette being honest with what she was looking for helped each of us become closer to our own self-image and understanding that's who we are. And then when we were able to see each other, it wasn't two out of focused images trying to make an image that's not out of focus, right? Mm-hmm. You have two very clear images coming together, creating this three-dimensional clear future. Mm-hmm. So this is all backed by research on self-determination theory. Action step for our audience would be write down three things that make you happy independently of a relationship. Reflect on how these align with your soulmate search or the person you're with right now. What makes you happy and how does that fit with the person you're with?
Yeah.
How about chapter two? So a lot of times we end up attracting what you don't want. So how do you overcome the unconscious patterns to attract healthier relationships? That's what chapter two is about. This chapter focuses on why we often attract the wrong people. Lizette shares her cycle of dating people who didn't align with her values, leading to frustration. We stress clarity, knowing that what you want prevents settling for the mismatched partners. For instance, if you focus only on shared hobbies, you might miss critical incompatibilities like differing long-term goals. Oh, we both like to square dance.
Oh, yeah, perfect for that.
That's great.
We can create a future together. Yeah.
But,
because we like blue color.
But if Lizette likes the beach and I like the city and that's where we want to end up in the future, it doesn't matter that we have that hobby of square dancing.
Yeah,
so
it's many areas, and also it's important value. So the value, I guess, is one of the areas that you need to be focused in.
So this is almost like fourth dimensional dating. Like it's not only the, you know, how deep, wide, and tall something is, but where all that's going to be in the future. Mm-hmm. And do you have that same perception of what that future is going to be? Research on cognitive behavioral therapy reveals that reprogramming thought patterns can help us break unhealthy cycles. So some of these, why we end up with what we don't want, is because sometimes we have past patterns of behavior which have programmed us to only really see people that have these annoying traits that we don't get along with in the long term, and then we only see them as being potential mates. So we talk about that in the book, and by looking at actually what you want and things that didn't work, so you're going to look at your old relationships, what didn't work, what did work, and you're going to find out that maybe if you're going to be focusing on someone who's compatible with you, it will change the way that you go looking for a partner. And it may change how you look at the person you're with. You may look for, okay, let's not look at exactly what's going on today, but how we can grow together in the future. Action step, list past relationships and identify recurring mismatches or patterns. That's in the book in chapter 2. When we come back, we're going to get into chapter 3. We're going to continue on with 90 Day Soulmate. This is the 15-year anniversary, going stronger, getting stronger in relationships by finding that compatibility up front or creating it in your existing relationship. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today's the 15-year reprisal or review of 90 Days Soulmate, the process. We started off by talking about our friends who we met and discussed the book with, and they took it with them on their journey to Canada, and they actually did the exercises in the book and started it while driving. And then when they got to Canada, they each sat down and on paper did the exercises in the book. And by the time they were done with their trip to Canada, to the wineries, they realized that they were going to marry each other. And they told us this, and they told us this before, but in hearing it again, we're like, you know,
it was a surprise for me.
It reaffirmed that what we're trying to do and how we're trying to help does work, has psychological and evidence. So psychological research that backs it, as well as real evidence that it does work.
Yeah.
So chapter 3, sometimes we have subconscious sabotage where we have to learn how to reprogram self-defeating thoughts. For instance, sabotage often happens beneath the surface. We identify fears of losing freedom or repeating past mistakes as hidden barriers to love. For instance, a man avoids commitment because he subconsciously associates relationships with control based on past experiences. So maybe, you know, in the past I had a relationship and the woman I was with or the partner I was with really wanted to you know, when I'm going to be home, where we're going, and you feel like, oh, I'm being micromanaged. And that can be a turnoff in a relationship, where then you think a relationship is when somebody micromanages you, and so you're fearful of mm-hmm. a relationship.
Yeah, because it's your program. It's the other person activate your program.
That we more often act based upon our own beliefs than actual evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
So it's touching the bottom.
Well, the other thing is that we may, you know, we talked about the other chapter, we may only find somebody attractive who is controlling in their personality. So when we meet somebody, whatever attracted us to someone in the past that we had a relationship with that turned out to be micromanaging and controlling, we may find those traits a trigger for chemistry at the beginning of the relationship. But later on, as we get used to this, or it becomes overbearing, we no longer find it attractive. And so now, in the future, we may see somebody like that and go, oh, you know what? If I get in a relationship, it's going to be controlling again. But if you get in the relationship with the same type of person again, yes. But if you do the homework up front, maybe you can avoid that.
Here I am again at the bubble tea bar. Oh, being single is not so bad. You go to parties when you want. You have the freedom to do what you want. But I want someone to share my life with. I'm afraid to get hurt again. Keep your head down. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. Oh, no. Pretend you didn't see her. She's attractive. But probably not my type. She's probably a Scorpio. Too controlling. But she sure is pretty.
Psychological studies on emotional intelligence emphasize how self-awareness can dismantle those patterns, paving the way for healthier relationships. So as you are aware of your past patterns and programs, mm-hmm. you can help dismantle them.
Yeah.
Right? You can break those patterns down.
And then you have to handle your ego, because sometimes the ego is not allowed to see yourself.
Uh-huh.
So you see this pattern and say, okay, it's outside, it's not in myself.
It's somebody else. It's out of my control.
Yeah.
I'm a victim.
Mm-hmm, the situation.
So our bulleted summary of the chapter is, subconscious fears can create roadblocks to love. Example, associating love with loss of freedom creates avoidance. Research, emotional intelligence supports recognizing and transforming negative patterns. And finally, an action step of this chapter would be journal your fears about relationships, encounter them with rational responses. I'm afraid that my relationship is going to be going to make me feel like I'm controlled. Okay, so rational response is, let's find somebody who is more of a free person, maybe more of a free spirit, more of, you know
what can be happen? So when you are like that, you feel worrying with somebody leave you without control, because the same stuff that make yep. you angry, the same stuff that you make is love.
Yeah.
And then this is the reason that you feel attraction for somebody controlling. Yeah.
If you don't control me, I don't think you love me.
Exactly.
Now that's another thing we have to address. So it's mm-hmm. the same thing that you don't want in a relationship can be the thing that makes you feel like you're loved.
And the attraction. So this is the way that you feel attraction. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So what we end up with sometimes is chapter 4, mismatched souls. How to recognize true compatibility. That this chapter highlights how mismatched relationships often arise from ignoring red flags. I recall dating women whose lifestyles clashed with my values, but I pursued them anyway because of initial attraction, chemistry. The key is identifying shared values early.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know what your values are in order to identify them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough thing at sometimes. Attachment theory suggests that secure attachment, These styles of secure attachment lead to longer-lasting, fulfilling partnerships, underscoring the importance of emotional alignment over fleeting chemistry. So chemistry is fleeting. Shared values endure. If you ignore mismatches when you're in a relationship, you can lead, or it can lead to frustration in the relationship. So attachment theory highlights secure connections for lasting love. What is attachment theory? Here's a couple of points. Secure attachment in a relationship. When you have emotional balance, they, the other person, are emotionally available and can regulate feelings. Empathy, they understand and share their partner's feelings. Trust, they trust their partner and feel comfortable being close to them. Communication, they communicate openly and honestly and resolve conflicts without escalating them. Support, they support each other and respect each other and give and receive emotional support. Vulnerability, we talked about. They are comfortable being authentically vulnerable and share their fears and insecurities with each other. Self-awareness, it all starts with self-awareness. They are aware of their own attachment patterns and tendencies and use this awareness to create healthier relationships. Those are all points, bullet points that go with secure attachment in a relationship where you feel securely attached to the other person because you feel open and honest with empathy, good communication, vulnerable, but also feel secure.
Yeah. And this is important.
That when you are being vulnerable, you know they're not going to try to hurt you because of your vulnerability. They're not going to go, you've got a soft belly, I'm going to poke it. They're going to go, you have a soft belly, I know that, and I'm going to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean like I'm using that as a, what is that called? It's an analogy. Action step. Define your top three non-negotiable values in a partner. So those would be things that you say, this is what I want in a partner. That would be an action step for this chapter. It looks like we're going to take another quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about 90 Day Soulmate right after this.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She traveled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate. We're talking about 90 Day Soulmate, the 15-year anniversary of the book, Getting Stronger, Getting Closer.
Yeah.
As compatibility grows, as you grow together, as you build with neuroplasticity, a mind meld. It's like we become one.
Soul.
One soul, one mind. Chapter 5, Looking in the Mirror, Embracing Self-Awareness to Attract a Compatible Match. This chapter focuses on introspection. Lizette used self-reflection to identify her strengths and areas of growth. By doing so, she became the person her soulmate was also seeking. This aligns with Carl Rogers' theory of self-concept, where self-acceptance fosters genuine connections. It's kind of like we were talking about before with self-esteem. So Carl Rogers' theories of self-concept and why you need to know who you are, and you have to actually act your self-image, the way you believe you are, you have to act in that way so you're congruent, which will help give you confidence, which will also help you attract somebody who wants to have that match in that type of personality. Let's look at the theory. Self-concept is the organized set of beliefs and perceptions an individual holds about themselves, influenced by experiences and interactions. The key concepts are self-image, how you see yourself, you know, your traits, your roles and identity, your ideal self, the person you aspire to be, and self-esteem, the value you place on yourself based upon how well you think you fit your ideal self. So his theory is, are you congruent? Alignment between self and ideal self leads to authenticity and psychological well-being. Incongruence, mismatch, creates tension and dissatisfaction. The impact on relationships: self-concept shapes how you interact with others and influences the type of connections you form. The key insight is accepting and understanding your authentic self fosters personal growth and healthier relationships. Well, be authentic.
Yeah. For me, the incongruence is tough. When I see something you say versus what you do, that is a really red flag.
Yeah, especially for yourself, right? So for yourself first, but then when you're that way and someone else sees, if you don't know who you are and you don't act and your self-concept and your self-image is all mixed up, then how, when someone sees you, how do they know who you are?
Yeah.
And then you're changing. And we talk about like how you're on your best behavior on those first dates when you're first getting to know somebody. And then 2 months later, it's like, wait, this isn't the person I started dating. They're now mean to me. Or they used to show up 5 minutes early. Now they're a half hour late to every date. They used to smile and they used to wear nice clothing. And now they're wearing sweatpants with holes in them.
And they smell bad. So that is a promotion time.
Could be promotion time. Absolutely. So self-reflection is key to authentic connections. Lizette's personal growth and what she's achieved in her life attracted me to her because I saw her as a confident person whose self-image, she acted as if she were the person she was. Like she didn't say, here's my self-image, and then in private she didn't act anything like it. She is who she is in all aspects of her life.
You too, baby. You too.
You too or YouTube?
Both.
So Carl Rogers' self-concept theory supports authenticity in relationships. And so an action step is write a list of your qualities and what type of person they would attract. After that, we look at time for a change in chapter 6. Chapter 6, time for a change. Embracing change to break old patterns. Be okay with change. The authors, that's us, outline specific exercises to identify what's been holding you back. Lizette transformed her dating mindset by creating that list of 40 traits for her ideal partner. These exercises that are in the book are rooted in cognitive restructuring, which helps individuals shift from limiting beliefs to empowering ones. Powerful chapter. Change is essential to growth and new outcomes. If you want a different outcome, you need to change how you go about looking for a partner. You have to change how you, your own self-concept. You have to be authentic. So when Lizette put a detailed list together, it really brought clarity to her search. Research is cognitive restructuring can facilitate change. Write your own soulmate list with specific traits and values. That's the action step for that chapter. Chapter 7, Science of the Mind. There are 10 chapters and we're at 7. 7. 7. Rewiring the brain for soulmate success. So the science of the mind, we delved into what's the mind do? How does it work? This chapter combines neuroscience and spirituality, explaining how visualization and affirmations can reprogram your brain. For example, Lizette visualized her dream relationship daily using neuroplasticity to align her thoughts with her goals. What I found very, very interesting was that by focusing on your dream board or your goals, you're not only just saying, oh, I'm just repeating and looking at it, but every day you do that, you're adding synapses, you're adding pieces to your brain, you're adding extra brain material that fit those patterns that weren't there before. So you can recreate yourself by using your brain to do it. You can read a book and learn new information that you never knew before. Mm-hmm. You can act differently. You can take a course. But this is science of the mind. The mind is a very powerful thing. Visualization strengthens the likelihood of achieving goals. Lizette's visualization practice helped her attract me, Jim. Neuroplasticity proves the brain adapts to focused thought. The brain changes. So as you say, embrace your self-concept and your self-image matches your self-concept and your self-esteem goes up, you're actually changing your brain, and your brain automatically will start delivering you a more confident personality style. Finally, spend 5 minutes daily visualizing your ideal relationship. That's easy enough, huh?
Mm-hmm. My favorite chapter.
So what are some of the things that we have to deal with in trying to have a relationship, whether the one we're in or the one that we want to be in? Ghosts. The ghosts, chapter 8, the ghosts of our ancestors. So how do we overcome generational patterns? Family dynamics and inherited trauma play significant roles in our relationships. The authors, that's Lizette and me, suggest exercises like journaling and questionnaires to decode these patterns. Studies on epigenetics confirm that understanding these influences empowers change. What's hilarious is when we wrote the book, we knew nothing about epigenetics.
Yeah.
But now, here we are, 15 years later, and we know all about epigenetics. But it's
interesting, yeah.
Things that trigger behavioral patterns based upon your DNA, your codes, and your traits, and that you know that things that can turn on behaviors, you can also learn how to turn off those behaviors.
Mm-hmm. When you identify, that's the point.
But you got to identify them. And you have to know what the triggers are. And mm-hmm. you may need to create new patterns and programs in your brain by focusing on what you want to become and the behavior you want to have. Cognitive behavioral therapy
and other
psychological aspects. Summary of this chapter, generational trauma can influence relationship dynamics. Reflecting on parental relationships can provide us with insights. Epigenetics links ancestral trauma to behavioral patterns, which means something that happened to your parents or a grandparent could have triggered a behavior that is then linked in your DNA, that you're programmed with a trait that you don't want, but it was programmed by trauma in the past. When you understand that, and we did a whole show just specifically on epigenetic trauma or trauma-induced epigenetic change, that when you recognize that that's something that can happen, you can recognize that maybe some of your behaviors are programmed from parents, mm-hmm. grandparents,
yeah.
and that if you say you want to change those, you can change them, and then you can actually change the switch in your DNA. So maybe then if you do have a partner and decide that you're going to have children, that you don't actually pass that trait on to your children.
And that's the important part. Some people thinking is so dramatic and decide don't have a child, don't have a relationship, and sometimes it's unconscious, you know? So I want to stop this cycle because I am tired, and then doing the stuff that...
And recognizing it is that there's two aspects to it. One is the programming that you have in your DNA, but the other is the behavioral aspect. So if you know you have a tendency in your DNA and you want to shut it off and you start shutting off the behavioral aspect of it, then others around you don't see the behavior. Therefore, their DNA may not be switched on. You know, so you might not teach somebody to act a certain way, which is already in their DNA, right? Predisposed to acting in a certain way. But if you don't subject somebody to trauma, they may not have that change that creates the behavior, and that may then be turned off for the future.
Yeah.
So write a letter to your younger self and say how to address those inherited patterns.
That is a good technique.
Chapter 9. creationism, using intention and belief to create reality, that we co-create with all of the universe, we co-create with the people around us, we co-create with our partner, we co-create with infinity our reality. By combining spirituality in actionable strategies, this chapter demonstrates how belief manifests reality. Our method of detailed intention setting transformed our love lives, illustrating that the law of attraction in action is possible every day for us. Mm-hmm. Clear intentions shape outcomes. Lizette's intuitive list predicted her connection with Jim. So those were the other items other than the 40. Those were the things of letter A, number 16, 161, blue car, white shirt, butterfly. Those things are in the book. If you want to know more about it, try to find yourself a copy of 90 Day Soulmate. The law of attraction emphasizes focused belief. But how Lizette journaled things randomly from dreams in a book, and then they were absolutely mapped to me specifically, conclusively, not coincidentally, is amazing. And for me, being an engineer with no sense of the belief in you know, these spiritual things, mm-hmm. seeing this stuff and the power of the universe and what it put at, you know, in front of me by Lizette's list of these things, and when you see how they match, it kind of blew me away. By the time I saw her list of 40 items and her intuitive list of other items and how they actually matched me, and only me, blew me away. There is magic in this, in the science and in the spirituality that exists within 90 Day Soulmate, more so than we could have ever imagined.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Write a clear affirmation describing your ideal relationship. That's chapter 9. That sets off the law of attraction. Write that clear statement of your ideal relationship. And then finally, we talk about in chapter 10 how to use the online dating world and when you meet with people. But the whole point is all the chapters up to 10 are in preparation of meeting somebody anywhere. Chapter 10 is, if you're using modern dating tools, when you use online dating, it's a science of its own. We share tips for creating authentic profiles, spotting red flags in others. When you do an honest profile, you can attract an honest person who, when you're honest up front, you can be vulnerable up front. And when you're vulnerable up front, you can find people who may attack you right away, and you can move them away as red flags. And for those people who are very caring, they have empathy, and they understand the vulnerability because they are also being honest, you can find them quickly, and you can decide which you want to be. You want to be with somebody who attacks you because that's what you're attracted to? Or do you want to be with somebody who really cares for how you feel and cares to keep your emotions and feelings protected? Authenticity is the key in digital dating. Actually, it's the key to all dating. Clear profile will attract somebody else who has similar interests. Communication studies stress honesty for genuine connections. And then finally, an action step is update your dating profile, or at least who you think you are. So your dating profile is really your self-concept. If you update it to reflect your values authentically, it's the best approach to how you go about dating. And then finally?
Yeah.
Finally, a summary. The final thoughts are action steps and takeaways from this show, from 90 Day Soulmate, from our 15 years of experience of helping others and learning as we go.
Yeah.
Here it is. Be authentic. Hey, we talked about that. Embrace your true self to attract genuine connections. Identify patterns. Reflect on past relationships to uncover subconscious habits. Visualize success. Use affirmations and visualize to focus your goals. Set clear intentions. Write down specific traits and values for your ideal partner. And finally, embrace change. break the past patterns that will allow you to invite growth and transform yourself and your future relationships. What do you think?
That's just the key.
It's the key. I hope we were able to share our complete book with you in a very short period of time here. But this all got kicked off because we had the dinner the other night with the couple that we had influenced and impacted in their search. And seeing how the laws, the psychology, the spiritual laws, the science laws that are in 90 Day Soulmate actually work. Yes. And have real live proof and evidence of when you put it to the test, do your homework, do your work, you can have a wonderful, wonderful relationship.
Yes. So.
Thank you. Thank you for listening this week. Have a great week.
See you next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.